at the office of Max Sam in Scotia on, I believe it was September 25th, the day that this happened?
September 25th. Seven of us, we left the truck after two of our friends opened the doors for us. That was a wonderful sidelight. They were dressed up so they could go get buzzed in. And as they held open the doors, seven of us rushed in with lock boxes and locked down in iron lotus position. So there's seven of us in a circle with our arms crossed into two lock boxes. And
what is an iron lotus position?
Yeah, we were in a circle, and our knees were over our lock boxes, and our arms were crossed into two lock boxes, and each lock box had two arms in them of different people. So we were locked together in a kind of contorted, you know, a meditation circle where we were wrapped around our lock boxes.
Okay. Now, I believe you had said earlier that one of the officials from Max Am came in and said, "Who let this trash in here?" Is that correct?
Yeah, that was John Campbell, our old friend. You know, he's one of the local COOs up in Scotia, Humboldt County. And
what is his position?
Not that way. And he walked in and he goes, "Who let this trash in here?" And stomps out and left the secretaries and some other employees kind of standing around not sure what to do while we were praying and singing and chanting for the forest.
And what is his position?
Actually, one of our trainers said, "Man, this looks like a post-industrial sex game." And there was that aspect when we're all locked down together.
And what is his position with the company? You said he was a what now? A local
CEO? I can't remember John Campbell's specific position, but I know that he's a spokesperson for Max Am in Humboldt County. He's a bigwig out there.
Okay. And as soon as he said, "Who let this trash in here?" then he turned around and walked out?
Yep.
And what did the employees of the office do?
Well, they started sighing and throwing up their hands and talking to each other. They looked exasperated more than anything. It's funny because later John Campbell was making a statement that, you know, there was some level of fear there, but I never saw that. We were sitting, you know, peacefully and basically immobile on their rug, locked down to each other, and they were, like, throwing up their hands in, like, a what now kind of position, you know. So there was never any kind of question of fear, I don't believe. You know, all we were doing was sitting in there.
And what were the folks?
Thanked them, their little office there, yeah.
And what were the protesters doing at this time, other than the ones who were locked down? I assume there were other people there who weren't.
Actually, you know, just about as we locked down, and we actually had one of our own people videotaping the initial part of that, and pretty soon everybody was locked out of the office except for ourselves. The people outside were starting to arrive for a guerrilla theater rally, and it was wonderful. Daryl was singing some new songs he'd made up, some which there's a song, "Hang Down Your Head, John Campbell," which was very pertinent. And then there was this wonderful juggler who was juggling power, money, greed, and he had a little bitty plastic saw, chainsaw, and some plain money, and a log that he was juggling. We had some big puppets out there. Art and Revolution really has taught us a lot about guerrilla theater, so we try to make our rallies as entertaining as possible. So it was a beautiful rally. We're so proud to be there with such back at outside, as well as we had a couple of people up on the roof, and they had signs saying things like "Not one more ancient tree." So we were quite an educational, you know, show there for people.
So basically there was a lot of street theater or guerrilla theater being carried out outside.
The message here was that we're not anti-logger. We're not saying that the logging industry can't have a sustainable, healthy industry with jobs for workers, with a stable, you know, job base. What we are saying is we cannot have international corporate raiders come here and liquidate the forests, eliminating both jobs and ecosystems. that we can't handle. And so I think we were very clear this year, and we got some support from the communities because we were so clear. We were staying in Stafford, and our base camp was right where a mudslide that had been sponsored by the industry destroyed half the town. So, you know, the community is starting to see the difference between good and bad forestry, and we're real happy to be a part of that kind of community-based solution. Yeah.
Now,
so I felt like our message was very clear, but more than that, you know, for those of us who are locked down, we're in a real vulnerable position in there, you know, right in the middle of, you know, a locus of corporate power. There wasn't a single person except us in the room who agreed with us, you know. We were surrounded by, you know, redwood paneled walls, you know, funded by the workers' pension fund that was stolen by this, you know, really... corporate headquarters of Maxam. And there we were, and we were singing and chanting, and our single intention was to show our interconnectedness with the forest. We said, look, we're here on behalf of the forest. The forest cannot move either. Well, neither can we. We're here, and we're telling you, you need to open your hearts and minds to the fact that you're interdependent with the water cycle, you know, the air cycle that is supported by these ancient trees. They pump your water, they generate your oxygen. You cannot have a life without, separate from the ecosystems of which you're a part. Get a clue.
And how many of you were locked down at this time?
It was seven of us. It was a really nice number. We were in a circle. And, you know, what was interesting is we knew each other somewhat because we had practiced and met. But, you know, these were not my close friends. I didn't know their activist histories. And as we got to know each other in jail and talking with each other, each one person was just as wonderful, sterling, very clear human being. There was a woman there who was a very serious practicing Buddhist, and as they were pulling her head back and pouring pepper spray into her eyes, she was saying, for the liberation of all beings. She was so clear that her actions were a prayer, and she kept her entire being centered on that prayer, and you could feel it. You know, Spring was there offering a song about the opening of our hearts, and that was very appropriate to the lotus position we were in. Each of our lock boxes has a point on it, so it looked like we had little petals sticking out, and so we really felt like here we were trying to open the heart of, you know, an iron corporation, but we were going to try to do that. And, I mean, each person was just beautiful. The woman on the other side I was locked to had done some support of homeless people in Santa Barbara. Another guy there. I mean, just everybody there was beautiful.
Now, I want to get to the pepper spray incident in just a moment, but let me just ask you, how long were you there locked down before the police arrived?
Well, we got there. We had like a real concrete timetable. We locked down about 1:20, and then it wasn't until about 3 o'clock that they started threatening us. So it wasn't about 3 that law enforcement had really unmasked in the office. And then it took them till 4:30 to get everybody out of there because people refused to release. People were like, look, you know, do you understand that a redwood tree does not move? Here we are. And I was so proud.
And what did the police say when they first arrived?
Well,
what were their instructions to you?
Videotaping us and talking among themselves for quite a while before they talked to us. But when they finally did, they said, okay, this is an illegal gathering. You must disperse. If you do not release, we will use pepper spray. And we're looking at them going, duh, we're indoors. What are you doing? You know, I start saying, look, you know, and I'm just lucky that I had read the information. Actually, an activist from Nebraska had sent me an article on a Chicano man who was killed by pepper spray because he was an asthmatic, so he was vulnerable, in custody last winter. And the reason they sent it to me was to tell me to stop my activism because I have kids to raise, you know. Anyway, so I had read that, and I had realized that as an asthmatic, I was specifically vulnerable. If I didn't know that, I would have let them go ahead and pepper spray me, and I could have died. And so I was saying, look, this is lethal force for asthmatics. We've proven that in custody, you know. So could you please realize that, you know, lethal force is not appropriate here. We're nonviolent. We're immobile. What are you doing? This is a lawsuit. I said that to them, and they said, that's your choice, honey. I couldn't believe it.
They said we will use pepper spray, and I guess at that point you probably assumed that they intended to use it in more or less the traditional way, that is, of spraying.
No, like,
it.
If we could scratch our head, we would have. We were like, huh, you know. And we couldn't quite figure that out because there were other people in there who would have been exposed to it, though they were leaving at that point, you know. But also, we didn't understand because we had assumed they would try to cut us out because that's the normal thing to do. And someone said, well, aren't you going to cut us out? And they said, no, that's messy. We're here. We're not going to mess up the office. So there was a clear statement of their values there, that the property of Maxim Corporation was way more valuable than the lives of the protesters. And so we were thankful they made their values so clear, but, you know, we had wished that they had, you know, made a different decision. When they brought out, actually, I was still talking with them, going, what if I'm epoxied in? What are you doing? How can you do this? You know, when they brought out a little Dixie cup, and it was Sheriff Kirkpatrick, who I asked people to pray for this dude because the guy has been inhumanized by his time in the force. With a total straight face, he pulled my neighbor Sam's head back and started trying to open his eyes and swab them with a Q-tip and with pepper spray. And
all right. Well, hold on. So they had poured pepper spray into a little paper cup. And then they were dipping the Q-tips.
I was just kind of like flabbergasted. Number one, there's no label. I have no idea what's in this paper cup, you know. I've never seen pepper spray applied at all, so it's all new to me. And I'm looking at a Q-tip, and I'm going, oh, my God. And, you know, and I have no information. I don't know if pepper spray in my eyes is going to set off an asthmatic reaction or not. I looked it up later, and, yeah, it would have. Sam, being an amazing guy, is like all scrunched up. His eyes are extremely tightly closed. And in fact, he says, look, he wouldn't scream. He basically started deep breathing so that he never let up on the pressure with his muscles on his eyes. So he said actually he didn't allow that much pepper spray into his eyes, so he got off a little bit easier. But the guy is awesome. I wouldn't recommend trying to do that at home, kids. It's hard to do. And so we started howling on his behalf. And then they went to his neighbor who screamed bloody murder as they really did open her eyes and pour it right in.
Okay, so they started with Sam. He was the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. And this was his first action ever. I was so proud of this man. And he's a great spokesperson for the affinity group. But basically, he did this number where he closed his eyes real, real tight and deep breathed through the whole procedure, whereas Bonka... they pulled her head back and opened her eyes forcibly so that it went right in, and she screamed, you know, just involuntarily. But before she screamed, she said, for all sentient beings. And she had said something about how, you know, look, trees are administered herbicide. These people can't think of anything new. They do the same thing to everyone. You know, we're here in solidarity. And so we tried to stay very clear that, you know, we're part of the body of Mother Earth, and if we need to suffer for her, it's a small part of the pain we're inflicting on sentient beings around the world for our lifestyle, and we just want to purify that karma.
All right, so they dabbed the pepper spray on Sam's eyelids, and he started deep breathing, and then what? He just ultimately released himself from the lockbox?
Not. He stayed, and as did Bonka. I was the one who actually released at that point. When they were swabbing Sam, I was like, this could kill me, and I have kids to raise, and so I did release. And I felt, I mean, it was a terrible decision to have to make, you know. We're there in solidarity, and what's wonderful is nobody there ever has ever questioned my decision. They're always like, look, you know, yeah, you've got asthma. What, you know, you made a good decision. So, so anyway, since we are locked in with bracelets, we have something we call bracelets with sort of chains around our wrists with carabiners locked to a bar in the middle of a lockbox. Basically, we can, with some effort, squeeze the carabiner and get ourselves out of there. And the weird thing is, though, once you're pepper sprayed, it's almost impossible to get it together to try to, you know, maneuver yourself out of your lockbox. So it was real counterproductive to try to get someone to release by torturing them. It's like from outer space, but that's what they were doing. And so the people they tortured absolutely did not release, mainly because they had decided not to, right? Bonka and Sam actually remained locked to each other. Three of us released, so what was left was Bonka and Sam locked together and Spring and Molly locked together. And Spring is 17 and Molly is 19. They're both awesome activists. And Sam and Bonka, I believe, were brought out about 4:15. So that took them like an hour and 15 minutes to like administer pepper spray twice to them.
So they were the last ones to be brought out?
Yeah, you know, they were brought out on boards, locked together, and they never released. They were cut out.
They never voluntarily released?
They said no way, and they were so strong. Both of them are incredible individuals. I got to know Bonka a little bit in jail. She has been doing animal liberation work for 15 years. She's locked down long before I first even knew about lockboxes, and she does not release. There you go. In fact, she locked down this Monday in Sacramento with 60,000 acres written across her face, and I was so proud of her.
Now, I did not know this because the media has been painting the picture that they all ultimately succumbed to the pain and then voluntarily released.
No. Absolutely not. That was the point. That's why they administered it twice, and that's why they were so furious, is because they could not get these folks to do anything like that voluntarily. We were there together. We were planning to stay together. You know, the folks who released did so without pepper spray. They did it to avoid the pepper spray, and the folks who were pepper sprayed never released. Okay?
I did not know that. That's not the way the media has been telling this story.
In the office and been brought out together, locked together. They then released because they were told that if they did not, she wouldn't be allowed to go to juvie. And she wanted to go to juvie detention hall where she could be not stay for 4 days but be released immediately and go into the woods for an action because spring will not stop. The rest of us had to do 4 days. We were adults. But as a juvenile, you can be arrested and then immediately released on recognizance of your parents and then go back into the woods, which she immediately did.
Now, which one was the juvenile? What was her name?
It's Spring, and her father's a really great activist. And so when Spring gets busted, her father immediately goes in there and gets her out so she can go back to the woods and get busted again. So Spring has done more busts than anybody because Spring never does time. We really like Spring. She's
okay,
awesome.
And Spring is how old?
She is 17 years old. And I just wish I was that bright and that kind of leader when I was 17. She has just really got it together. And she has been doing tripod actions all over and really working for the forest.
And she was one of the ones who was pepper sprayed?
Excuse me?
She was one of the ones who was pepper sprayed?
Yes, she was. In fact, twice. And, in fact, she was pepper sprayed yet another time at a following incident at Frank Riggs' office.
Well, I'm talking about this particular incident.
Yeah, she was. She and Molly were locked together, and they were both pepper sprayed brutally. I mean, they were both howling in pain.
They were both pepper sprayed with the Q-tips in their eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was four people who were. And
the four people never did unlock voluntarily? They all had to be cut?
Yeah, Bonka and Sam never did. Molly and Spring only unlocked after they had been brought out of the office. And so Spring decided in order to go to juvie detention hall, she would unlock.
Mm-hmm.
So that she would be able to leave and go to do another action. But she only unlocked after they had gotten her out of the occupation situation at Max Sam, and once she was in the parking lot, she decided that was an okay place to unlock. So she basically insisted on her right to non-violently, passively resist, which has been our right, you know, from the beginning of protest on, and they're trying to take away that right and say that one cannot passively resist. One must do exactly what an officer says as soon as he gets there and gives you any kind of order at all, and we say no.
That's a pretty inspiring story that those folks were able to withstand the pain of this pepper spray being applied to their eyes
unlock. Their spiritual clarity was something just to be seen, and that's one of the reasons I want to tell this story over and over again, is it's the one action I've been on where I thought we were all in the same place, and it was like our intention was palpable. You know, you could feel, you know, our strength in the room there. But aside from that, it's counterproductive. You pepper spray somebody, they're nearly unable to release because it takes a certain amount of physical coordination to release. And you can't, I mean, you know, they were there dealing with the pain, you know, and they were praying and they were chanting, but there was no way they were trying to, like, wiggle their arms so they could get out of there. And so it's a counterproductive thing.
Now, I believe they were also singing at one point, were they not?
We're all singing, yeah, you know, and we had a lot of different songs, but the one that you were talking about that, you know, one of our simplest songs that we all know is Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. And we liked singing that because the idea was that we were there in the stead of the redwood trees that day. You know, we actually had people stopping logging in Bear Creek later on, you know, and we were saying, okay, you're not taking down the redwoods today. What you are doing is you're looking. All life is one. Here we are. You know, you can't herbicide a tree. You herbicide us. We understand. Got to stop that, you know, that basically they're the mode at which they treat life has really affected the way in which they treat humans. The way they treat the ecosystem is the way they treat the humans who perceive their connection to the ecosystem. And pretty soon the way they're going to treat everybody, and they're going to have to stop. At some point they need to notice their connectedness. And we were there to make that graphically clear to them.
Now, were you present the day of the takeover of Congressman Frank Riggs' office, or Congressman Rank Pig?
I was not,
as
because
Barry
I have a family, and so at this point, I was getting my kids back to the Bay Area, you know, and indoors. You know, we'd been at base camp quite a while then. But my friend Terry Compost in Spring was there, so there was a takeover, and you know, I know these activists. I know they did a good job, and I just can't believe the things folks are saying about how violent they were. I mean, I've been at a million demonstrations with Terry Compost. I've never seen the woman be anything but loving, so I just don't believe that, you know.
So did Spring participate in this lockdown also?
I believe she did, yeah.
She got pepper sprayed in the eyes twice?
Yep.
Once in Scotia and once at the congressman's office.
As I understand it, yeah. Spring is our number one plaintiff at the moment. And, yeah, and she really, she has a quality of courage that few have. I just, you know, I've been organizing a long time, and I think Spring Lundberg is definitely, you know, a great organizer, and we're looking forward to seeing how that develops, because she's been not only organizationally great, but very, very brave on the front lines, you know. And energetic, not to mention energetic. Yeah, so she's great. And, and one of the things I love about this is, you know, the people in my affinity group and the people generally that I was organizing with this year, we weren't just Earth Firsters. I mean, being Earth Firster is a big thing. It means you're connecting yourself to all sentient life and you're defending ecosystems. But we also were representing other struggles. So I myself, I've been working with, you know, Native solidarity kinds of struggles. Other people working with homeless solidarity struggles. Terry Compost does Food Not Bombs nearly full time. There were other people there who were doing Free Burma work. You know, I was so proud that we were bringing in the majority of folks for whom the world order is not working, and we're saying, look, we're here, we're a majority, and all these struggles are connected. So I felt like that message was coming through this year in Earth First, and that we were expressing that by really reaching out to the worker more than ever before in a clearer way, that, you know, that really there's a political clarity that's rising to meet the globalization that also has a kind of clarity to it, you know, so that, you know, so I saw that developing in base camp this year. I'd like to see it develop more, but this alliance work is just about, you know, starting to happen the way it needs to.
So the struggle continues, or luta continua. Grace Nichols?
Grace, I
want to thank you for sharing your story with us today. Do you have any closing comments?
Well, just carry on. You know, anytime you think it's too big and it's too hard, realize that, you know, we're in it together and connect up. There's beautiful people out here. You can meet us at the Little Planet Cafe, or anytime Food Not Bomb serves food. There's just awesome young people who are dedicated to making the planet a more beautiful, just, and free place, and you need to take your part in that with us. Thank you.
That gives me hope for the future.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Grace.
Bye now.
So long.